Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the grandson, "There's a fight going on inside me. You see, this is a terrible fight. And this fight is between two wolves. One wolf, this wolf is evil. It is angry, envy, sorrow, full of regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, this wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, full of kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." He tells the grandson, this same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute. He looked up and asked the grandfather, "Grandfather, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me?
Wake up, goddammit!
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, que tal, namaste, oki, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties, live every Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Holding down the other half of our hosting duties. Some call him the Lion's Historian. Others call him Unc. I simply just call him my best friend because he's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? How you doing down
What's
there,
up,
man?
Wilfredo?
You all right down there?
Yeah, I'm down in the bunker, man.
Yeah.
I'm holed up for a little while anyway until the all clear is given. No, I'm not in Ukraine. I'm not in Beirut. I'm in Frisco, Texas, a little north of Dallas. and we're under a heavy tornado warning. So anyway, you know, I'm one who's quick to bail, Jack. As soon as I hear sirens go off, I'm out of here. So we don't have basements in Texas. So I'm in
right.
the next best thing, you know. And so anyway, excuse the quality of the sound. If I sound like I got my head in a bucket, no, I got my head in the downstairs bathroom. And I got the door closed to blot out the alarm in the hallway that's constantly going off. And I'm sharing a level with the doggies, so you might hear them yapping in the background too. But anyway, that's it. That's the excitement. So it's kind of trippy. I'm a big sissy, man. I don't mess with weather. You know,
right.
I might mess. I mean, in the past, I messed with dope, but I ain't never dug messing with weather, man. It's just. Oh no, man! It's too big for me. So, you know, I admire people who can kind of just, you know, walk in thunderstorms. Well, I like walking in thunderstorms, but not when it's lightning. So anyway, that's what's up, man. So thanks for, for taking on all the tasks, because I'm only with, you know, I'm limited. I don't have any video, any graphics available. So thank you for, for taking control, man. Appreciate it. So anyway, that's what's happening.
Oh, it's all good, man. Just, you know, stay safe down there. I'm sure everybody's sending, you know, their strength and prayer. And, you know, as the saying goes, covering you, you know, with that. And hopefully everything will work out and things will pass on past Frisco and get you out the bathroom.
Amen. You know, but I mean, there's worse places to be stuck. At least I got the facilities.
and that's a nice bathroom too, you know, so I know which one you're
yeah.
That's a nice one
yeah.
down there. So you're really good.
Yeah.
I know people
yeah,
are like,
man.
I know they're not talking about bathrooms on the show right now. Hey man.
Yeah,
man. Sure.
Yeah, you know.
Hey man.
Yeah, well you know, the millions.
The millions.
They understand what's up. Yeah, you know. So anyway, man, that's it. You know, go ahead and take care of the due diligence. I'm not gonna
right.
you know.
All good. All good. So, again, it's we're live every Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on our Blog Talk Radio show. Today is March 21st, 321. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, I'm always talking about numbers, 321. So before we get started on our show, as we do with every show, we'd just like to lay out a few reminders to you, the listeners out there, before we get rolling. But the first thing, we want to make sure that you've got a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note marker, the back of an envelope, or what, ladies and gentlemen? That's right, a napkin. We don't care what
napkin.
You got. You just make sure you got something to write down, any questions, any comments, maybe some pieces of information, some jewels, as they say, from Dad and I, from our discussion tonight, or something you want to share with the audience. We just want to make sure you don't forget anything, or maybe something you want to keep to maybe meditate on it later or study later on. So we want to make sure that you've got something to write with. The second thing is we wanted to remind everyone that we have many ways that you can engage with us while we do our live shows Mondays and Wednesdays. We have a chat room that you can access with your free Blog Talk Radio account. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's Greenhouse FX, the letter FX, and set up your free Blog Talk Radio profile. And you can chat with us directly in the chat room. Or you can call us. And we can bring you in, and you can let us know what's on your mind, any questions or anything you'd like to share with us. Our number here is 516. And I'm sure you've got a pen and pad handy by now, or the napkin or whatever. The number is 516-453-6094. I'll say it again for you, 516-453-6094. What you do is you want to come into the show, press 1 on your keypad. That'll bring your number into our queue. And after Dad and I use our 1,000 words, because 100 words don't do on our show, we will bring you in. So just be patient with us, and we'll bring in as a part of the show. And, of course, you can always chat with us and leave any questions or comments on the Facebook event page that Dad always sets up wonderfully. So I didn't do everything, as Dad stated earlier, so I'm always grateful that he had set up the Facebook event page. So you can holler at us in the discussion part of the event page there on Facebook as well. So, yeah, that's the Greenhouse Effect. 3, 2, 1.
Right on, man. Yeah. Oh, one thing about 3, 2, 1, just one of those things that you'll never have any reason to use. 3, 2, 1 is actually the area code for Cape Canaveral. That's pretty good. 3, 2, 1.
Wow, okay.
Hello.
Good to know.
Anyway. Thought you just, just a little something, just tossing it in.
I can't wait to get a phone call from Cape Canaveral and see it on the queue. Hey, Dad, okay. Look on the show, man. Somebody's calling from Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be coming soon. Alrighty.
So today started the hearings. What is the proper term? Is it for Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination for the
Supreme Court hearing? We don't have to fancy it up. Everybody knows
the word hearing.
They grilling baby girl. It's the hypocrisy in action on live TV. It's the flip flop. Where Democrats, when those other two were being vetted as well and going through their hearings, the Democrats presented, questions of accountability. And, two individuals, one who had some scandalous issues in his background and the other who has a staunch Catholic stance on abortion. And it's interesting to me that, that's not something being mentioned as Ketanji Brown is being grilled about, this whole thing of affirmative action and the rest of the BS that's going on. And maybe she should recuse herself, meaning maybe she should step away from any affirmative action cases. But the same thing is not being asked about, and I forget her name. The female who was appointed by Trump, no one is saying she should recuse herself from any abortion issues that come before the Supreme Court, which have, by the way. And it's just that same hypocrisy, that same double standard. And it's reminding me of what black people, throughout history have always had to do. And you've talked about it in previous shows, that you always had to be twice as good just to be equal. And if for lack of a better example, of course, it's the Jackie Robinson thing, the amazing thing even about that, we look at Jackie Robinson was only half a man as far as how he was viewed forever, I'm thinking that his whole issue, his whole background, his whole purpose was about baseball, which of course it wasn't, but how he spearheaded, the inclusion of so many other black males who, came to the sport in the late 40s and early 50s, but always followed in his footsteps. They weren't good at one thing. They were good at three things. They could hit, they could throw, they could run, and it didn't matter what position. It did not matter what position. Some of the most deathly hitters, who were black in the major leagues in the 60s in particular, were black pitchers, like, Don Newcomb and Bob Gibson, man, they could stroke a baseball with the best of them. Yeah. I'm watching this thing with her and I'm thinking, it's not so much when will they learn, it's really about when will they unlearn, and until they're willing to unlearn, we're going to always have to go through this bullshit, I'm sorry. I was trying to think of a better word and I just can't. And BS wasn't cutting it for me, you know. So anyway, yeah, there it is, man. Sorry to, you know, cut into the grain a little bit. Go on, Will.
No, that was, you know, that was perfect. I was hoping you were able to provide a little bit more context to this hearing today. As I had a feeling, you know, that you had, again, some context to it and some detailed, more, you know, a perspective on it, and you didn't disappoint. So, no, you're not against the grain at all, man. You're right on it. You know, I know that there was some, you mentioned the lady that Trump nominated, but then isn't there some, like kids in a playground, you know, because you hit me, I got to hit you. So isn't that kind of like the thing with the Republicans right now? They feel like because the Democrats are hard with one person, what was his, Brett something. I can't remember his last name. Like they, you know, is that kind of the
that's the way, you know, that's the way us common folk would play it out, but no. You know, these hearings are intended to be reflective of character, you know, and knowledge, you know, and some degree of perseverance as well. You know, that's to test the strain of those who are going to be under, you know, the highest degree of law, you know, the Supreme Court. I mean, the Supreme Court, we're not, you know, talking about county jail. You know, we're talking about the highest court in the land. You know, so people have minimized what the Supreme Court historically has stood for. And there's where the issue is, you know, for convenience sake, you know, these Republican talking heads who are about destroying the very fiber of their government, democracy, you know, not ours, their own. You know, they, you know, through Trump, you know, the re-Trumplicans, you know, have just characterized and, you know, just caricaturized even, you know, this whole system to the point to where it's been just minimized. You know, I'm running out of I-Z-E-D words, you know, to the point to where, you know, the ignorant, the dull and the ignorant, you know, that don't pay attention anyway because they don't know anything about what democracy really is. All they are, the re-Trumplicans are only concerned about white power. You know, that's all it's about. Now, whether it's white supremacy or whether it's, you know, Nazism or all that, they're only concerned about white power, make America great again. Whatever again means to me can only mean before the Civil War. You know, let's get it back to the, you know, let's get it back to the privileged 6%, and let everybody white who's for re-Trumplicans believe they, including females, that they are part of that 6%, including poor whites, including the landless, including those who have no power. They're so overly identified with this idea of what is so often referred to as the founding fathers. They don't even understand that the founding fathers did not have their best interests in mind. Well, it was only 6% of those who controlled everything that shaped government. You know, so and since black folks were only 3/5 of an entity in itself, so we're talking about the other 94% of white people. We're not women, of course, but white men included weren't even considered. They didn't even count. You know, all they had to do was just show up to cheer the vote, not to even be a part of it. So this thing right here going on in the Supreme Court, you know, no, it's not about, you know, one-upmanship. You know, you got us, we got it. It's got nothing to do with integrity. It has nothing to do with the true nature of what the Supreme Court stands for. It has to do with an opportunity for supreme idiocy to actually have the opportunity to be on stage and be cheered on by an equal idiocy of a population that has no idea what democracy is. All they want is to be able to have everything back in their control again with the belief that they are really in control. They really even believe that Trump, you know, was someone who, in spite of his rubbing hands and shoulders and kissing ass with, you know, what do you call these dudes, these emperors or these whatever these cats are called, you know, it's like white America, the re-Trumplicans really believe that Trump rubbing shoulders with Putin was going to restore some type of white democracy in America. They're not even considering that a fool like that who would be given that kind of power and kiss Putin's ass, you know, they really believe that they would be better off. They still believe that. So these hearings and this cat from Josh, whatever his last name is, from Kansas, they can stand up there and they can say questions and grill this person who only Sotomayor, Justice Sotomayor, has more or equal amount of trial experience. No other Supreme Court justice right now on the bench has as much trial experience as Ketanji Brown. But all he can do is ask her about her rulings on issues concerning child pornography. See, that's the sick shit, you know, that goes on, that people will stand up, like Fox News will stand up and say, yeah, we can't have this, because anything that has to do with intelligence, integrity, and personality is null and void in this idiocy of this government and the direction that it's heading. And excuse me for going all off the rail with this, man, but I can't help but to watch the news because I have to keep track of just how stupid this country is willing to be, you know. And so anyway, let me shut up, man. Jesus Christ, I'm good thing I'm in the basement. I need to be caged for a minute, you know. It's you know, and it's frustrating to see Democrats trying to be civil, you know, in a situation that requires, you know, they're showing up with ping pong ball shooters when they need to be showing up with slingshots, you know, that they need, you know, this thing that the Obamas talked about, when they go low, we go high. No, when they go low, we need to get at least just as low, because that's the only thing America can understand right now. And it's trying to say all the right things and trying to be politically correct in an arena that is not concerned about being politically correct. There's no integrity at all. And for some reason, this Democratic Party feels like it has to stand for something that is at risk right now. People don't care about integrity. You know, people want to go to war about defending democracy, not about writing shit on paper. You know, this is everything that America stands for, the America that they know, everything that it stands for, the America that we as black folks have been fighting for since, you know, 1865, of course, before even then. You know, everything that they represent, everything that they have, everything that they have created, they are putting at risk. And they're so stupid, they don't even see that. And so I watched this hearing, amazed at these people who know they can stand up here and speak stupidity, because they have those who voted them in office that are cheering them on without even understanding that the very fiber of that which they think has made America great is at risk right now. It ain't about getting even with black people. It's about losing everything you have as white people in America. It's the supreme idiocy to me that, no, that doesn't even deserve any kind of suggestion that this is tit for tat. You know, you know, this is one-upmanship return. This is, you hit me, so I'm going to hit you back. No, this is, we know the rules of dirt playing while you're trying to be ethical. You know, so we're going to use dirt playing like we always have. You know, we're going to flip the card, and we're going to throw it right back at you, just like we did to get what we wanted in the first place. You know, so we're going to show you how unethical you are by showing our lack of ethics. It's a crude game that has proven itself politically time and time again. In my lifetime, you know, I've seen it done by Reagan. I've seen it done by, you know, the Bushes. you know, meaning not the foliage. You know, I've seen it done by Trump. You know, I've seen it done by people like names we forgot, like Orville Faubus and Strom Thurmond and George Wallace, you know, George Lincoln Rockwell. You know, man, you know, this is exhausting, man. In my lifetime, to see this needle has not budged an inch. You know, so anyway, man, sorry about that. And, you know, what they have failed to recognize is that, you know, putting her in the Supreme Court will be the first black person to be put on the Supreme Court since Thurgood Marshall. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Okay,
is this,
I'm backing off.
Is this going to be a normal thing now? Can we expect like a Clarence Thomas little jab? You know, I mean, because I find it great. You know, it's just like every week we can expect like a little, you know.
Yeah, man. Until he takes that white napkin off his head.
No.
You know, okay. I'm good, man. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, you know, as Dad mentioned, you know, he's taking shelter today because there's tornado warnings in Frisco, Texas. So he doesn't have access to the studio tonight. So really, it's just me in the studio tonight. So anybody in the chat room, you know, you have to be patient because Dad's pretty – it's funny because Dad's pretty quick with the chat room. I think he's more – caller friendly in the chat room than me. So I say all that to say because Adam had asked a question, but I'm not sure what this was in response to. But he was asking, have Democrats ever been that way? So maybe Adam can elaborate a little bit more in the chat
room.
Yeah,
Democrats have been that way. It's Republicans that created the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendments. I mean, it's Republicans that went to bat for the idea of abolition. You know, it wasn't Democrats, it was Republicans. But it's that flip-flop. You know, there's a lot of Democrats who jumped ship in the 60s because they just couldn't handle the direction of civil rights, and they became Republican. You know, so, that's all I was saying earlier. It's the politics of this. It's got nothing to do with integrity. You know, so here we are again. I'm seeing this go back and forth. And, you know, like, I'm not trying to say that Democrats or the Democratic president have been without blemish and without flaw. I still remember the, you know, question that that Clinton threw back at the trial when he was being impeached. He said, well, define sex. That was a shrewd answer, you know, because he was talking about he had sex with somebody, you know the story. In the White House, you know, and he said, well, okay, define sex for me. So I understand what you're talking about, you know, and of course, you know, they couldn't figure out a way to, you know, to turn the oral thing into a visual, you know, sexual manipulation, you know, anyway. So it's not like it's the politics of the game, and that's what's being played out right now. It's the cruel irony of politics that leaves people like you, people like me, you know, still wanting to see the playing field even out and fearing that we won't see it within our lifetime and can only hope our children will.
Yeah, that's all.
I'm
man.
Sorry, man, just, I'm going on and on. I just got cranked up today, man.
Let's even out the playing field, exactly. Like I said, I had a feeling that was going to get you going, and like I said, you didn't disappoint. And I'm glad that you were able to provide a little bit more context. I've been busy this weekend. You know, it's been some nice weather up here, and I've been taking advantage of it. So I love the fact that you stay diligent on some of these things. You help me out. You know, so thank you. No need to apologize.
Yeah, I hear you, but there's a reason even for that. I mean, you know, like most of my life, I've been flagrant with not fully understanding, you know, the issues of government and the impact of it on the common folk and the concerns of the trickle down impact on, you know, people of color, black people in particular, you know, and realizing as I got older, that I've been for the majority of my life ignorant to the ways of government as it impacts on black folks, just shaking my fist at the sky, you know, about particulars like, you know, O.J. Simpson or, you know, things like that, but not even being politically aware enough during my day to understand the true depth of the assassination of the Black Panther Party. You know, not even understanding when I was right in the midst of war in Vietnam, not even understanding the true politics of the war. You know, it's a strange thing, you know, to have to come to grips with the fact that the older I got, the more I was required to put my naivete away and to accept the fact that even though I may be a strange entity to government, that doesn't mean that I have to be ignorant to the ways of government. So this program, you know, it has been the catalyst in a way, but definitely the motivation that has pushed me to own my indifference and accept the requirements of talking about something that I'm willing to learn about. You know, it's kind of been my conscience too. It's like, you know, damn, we've had shows. I mean, me saying to myself, damn, we've had shows that have enlightened me in the way, you know, school never did. Conversations with the dudes in the hood never did. Dialogue with you know, with the, you know, with the what do they call it today? What does your cousin call himself? Not the elite, the intellectuals, you know, always denying myself a seat at that table and realizing, no, you know, it's a requirement that, you know, that we don't use athletics as an excuse to be ignorant to the ways of politics. You know, we've been entertained and we have entertained long enough, you know, and it's time we step out from behind that and start, you know, empowering, you know, true leadership again, and not designate mouthpieces like, got nothing against them, Al Sharpton, or the brother who's been spearheading a lot of these civil lawsuits, you know, wrongful death acts and so forth. You know, it's like, you know, we don't have the ground pounders anymore. We don't have those who scream through the bullhorn. We don't have those who, you know, who beat on doors and not to rob but to enlighten. You know, we don't have identity. You know, we have costumes. Oh my God, we have costumes on top of costumes. You know, but as far as it being reflective of identity, you know, we've abandoned that ship, and I really don't know, you know, what I'm looking at anymore. You know, when I see, you know, my younger generations parade themselves in a way that says, "Look at me," which I can dig. But then I question, what is the me you want me to see? Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm not seeing it. You know, I'm not seeing it at all. That's because I'm old and irrelevant. I understand.
No. Which wolf are we seeing? Which wolf are you feeding? Yeah.
You know. I don't even know if that's, you know, because that means it would have to be two. You know, and I don't think that that's even recognized. I don't even think that's understood. It's like my identity is a false identity today, y'all. And that's the identity I want you to see. I don't want you to see me anywhere. I want you to see this costume of me. And this costume, you know, is what the new identity seems to be. You know, it's you know, everything, the dress, meaning the clothes, you know, the vernacular, meaning the speech, you know, the stance, meaning cocked and ready, you know, the verbiage, Jesus Christ, don't even get me going there, you know, the absolute lost respect, you know, I mean, respect today exists for the one who has the assets. You know, it's got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do with eldership. It has to do with the one who has the most that I can get the most from. It has nothing to do with financially, monetarily, you know. Has nothing to do with integrity and knowledge. And it's really, you know, I don't know. Let me stop, man. I'm killing the show right now.
Yeah, you're good. You're all good. Adam, I see you there. We'll try to get to you as soon as we can. But as we discuss Ketanji Brown's hearing today that started today, And this is being March, and we've had some time to talk about women's history. I thought this was a good time to bring up a couple of ladies in women's history, in particular Black women's history. You know, and looking at the times in the 70s, the 60s and 70s to kind of where we are. And as you mentioned, you know, and as we've mentioned, as much as we champion for, you know, an equal playing field, and it's taking such a long time for change. Well, not for change to occur, but for the results of changes to be seen. But there's a couple of ladies who started making change, especially in the political field. So I mentioned last week two ladies, one by the name of Barbara Jordan, and the other one is Shirley Chisholm. And
right.
what is kind of cool, in 1972 as a particular time in which these two ladies kind of made impacts in the political arena here in the United States, which is pretty cool. And I'm hoping that you could elaborate a little bit too in that time in 1972. I know that that might have been a challenging time to remember how things were for you, but
Barry Chapman, don't you put me on the spot. You go, man. I'm just sitting back in the cut right now.
So
I'm
know,
not going to even give my distorted view of the 70s, man. Go on, bro. You got it, man.
So I'll be brief, but like last week, I just wanted to mention these two ladies and just give a little bit of information about who they were. So the first person I wanted to mention was Barbara Jordan. Barbara Jordan was the first Black woman in the Texas State Senate and the first Black woman to represent Texas in the United States House of Representatives in 1972. And you'll hear me talk about 1972 a couple of times. But this made her the first Black woman from the South elected into Congress. She was born in 1936 in Houston, Texas. And she was inspired by a Black lawyer named Edith Sampson, who gave a career day speech at her high school. Edith Sampson was the first Black American delegate to the United Nations. And again, she was a lawyer. And it was her speech, again, that they gave at career day that inspired Barbara Jordan to pursue law and to become an attorney. And in 1966, she was elected to the Texas State Senate. Now, this was a big deal. You know, it's not like, oh, okay, cool. This was a little bigger than just she just got elected. You know, she was the first Black woman elected to the state Senate and the first in Texas State Senate. The last time a Black person had been elected to the office was nearly 100 years ago. That was in 1883. So it took almost 100 years to get another Black person into the Texas State Senate. During Jordan's time there, she helped pass the state's first minimum wage law and was instrumental in creating Texas Fair Employment Commission. So it was, you know, these steps that she took to make some changes in Texas. So I mentioned 1972, and in 1972, this was the same year that Shirley Chisholm ran for president. That's right. That's right. A woman yes. ran for president, a Black woman.
Black
president.
I don't.
In 1970, had a campaign. You know, she was the first Black woman, first African American Negro, whatever the title was, from a major political party to run for president. First Democrat woman. The first woman was Margaret Chase Smith in 1964. She ran under the Republican Party. She was the first woman to actually run for president. But Shirley Chisholm was the first Black person, the first Black woman to ever run for president. She was born in November 30th, 1924 in Brooklyn, New York. She went to college at Brooklyn College. And, you know, she already at Brooklyn College, she was already on her way to start making changes. While in school, she challenged the school to bring in African-American history curriculums and championed for more women to be a part of the student government, being leaders in the student government. And there are many other causes that she championed while she was in college. From 65 to 68, Ms. Chisholm served as the New York State Assembly in the New York State Assembly. And some of the accomplishments while serving during this time granted domestic workers unemployment benefits and a program that gave underprivileged students the opportunity to attend college while taking remedial education classes. And some of these programs are still in existence today. A lot of the young in New York are still continuing to benefit from these programs that she started back in the late 60s, which was pretty cool. In 68, Chisholm ran for a seat in New York's 12th congressional district, becoming the first black woman, elected to the United States House of Representatives. Again, becoming the first black woman elected to the United States House of Representatives. And she served from 69 to 83. Her platform while she ran for president focused on racial and gender equality. And at that time, by doing so, it really elevated these issues into a national stage. It wasn't just something that they just talked in whispers. You know, it was like, hey, this is what's going on. And there was no getting around it, no hiding from these issues. So just a couple of ladies I just wanted to share with you all, a couple of women, and I, hope that you were able to write down their names, Barbara Jordan, Shirley Chisholm, and you can look them up yourself, find out more information about them. I don't want to take up too much time on the show, but, again, I love these opportunities to bring up a few things and hopefully challenge you all to look more. But also, I like the opportunity just to talk about it and introduce it to you all if you never knew about it. So a little something from the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. So thank you all for letting me share that with you. Like I said,
I don't know why you say that. You know, the time is yours to take any way you want to take it. You know, we're done at 7. So, eight, so it's not like, this is what it's for. It's for you to share this, man. It's nothing at all to apologize about. And, the problem is that we don't talk enough about this. Not me and you. I'm talking about black folks. We've become a society of immediate gratification. So history has become a lost art, to us as a people. So no, man, you have this platform. Take advantage of it. Talk as much as you want. We even got overtime.
If
you have to apologize for what you said, and if you have to apologize for taking the time, then there's no point in us even having the show. This is what it's for. Right on, man. I really appreciate, you bringing this back into the forum, man. It's Shirley Chisholm and Barbara Jordan, man. Those names better known would not treat Ketanji Brown like she's an anomaly. It would be, what took us so long? Instead of treating her like, Ketanji Brown, like she's a pioneer. No, but yeah, man, right on, bro. Go ahead.
No, again, 1972. And so I can imagine that had to be such an interesting time. Shirley Chisholm's running for president. Barbara Jordan is elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. And, they say that their political styles were, I guess, opposite because Shirley Chisholm was, she was more influenced by Marcus Garvey, whereas Barbara Jordan was, just to say that she worked more quietly, I think, through the system. But I'm sure just coming, comparing even like maybe Malcolm and Martin, I don't know how that is, but then you have these women who have the goals that are the same, but just different ways of going about it. Like I said, you don't have to interject on it, but I'm just saying, I'm sure that had to be, such a impactful time, I guess, but I don't know, in a way, kind of confusing, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, you know, if confusing would be the word, but it's as good a word as any.
It might not be the word.
You know,
yeah.
But Shirley Chisholm was East Coast, you know, New York. Barbara
right.
Jordan was Texas. You know, all we have to do is look at the history of those two states to understand, you know, the philosophies of the individuals. You know, I mean, New York is still New York. Texas is still Texas. And I think, you know, when you consider what Shirley Chisholm accomplished in New York and what Barbara Jordan accomplished in Texas speaks for itself. You know, philosophies are always influenced by individuals that preceded us. That's the nature of education. You know, Malcolm and Martin, I don't know if that's, you know, an adequate or a thorough comparison between Shirley and Barbara. But, you know, if not, it should be. But we shouldn't have to have such few examples. You know, there should be a whole lot of, which there was, a whole lot of Martins. There should be a whole lot of, which there was, Malcolms. There should be a whole lot of, which there was, Shirley's. And a whole lot of, which there was, Barbara's. But, see, we don't get our history that way. You know, we only get the history of immediacy if this history in itself did not exist until the moment. You know, so we don't get to, because we don't have authorship, author, A-U-T-H-O-R. We don't have authorship to textbooks and history books. We have to take what those books are given, you know, and those books don't give us much. You know, it only gives us what they want us to know and what they only want to give their own to know. So, no, man, I mean, there's nothing wrong to me with bringing up names like Malcolm and Martin and clashing, some degree of clashing philosophies, which they did, you know. And plus, you know, Malcolm was, you know, raw dog, street boy. You know, Martin was raised in the chites. You know, I, yeah, man. But there was a time, the 70s, you know, and I think that's, to me, you know, the 60s and the 70s. You know, were the opportunities, you know, that have come and gone, you know, for Black people to have truly carved out a place in politics, you know, in government, you know, in all other forms of ownership. You know, that was our chance, and you know, we took the buy off, and we took the road of least resistance. We took the safe path. And as a consequence, that's why we're left with what we have right now. So, man, again, you know, you brought up four very powerful names, and my question and challenge would be to the listening audience is, you know, what names do they have to add to the list since the 70s? You know, Shirley Chisholm and Barbara Jordan and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, what, you know, our Black listening audience, what, you know, what do they have to add to that list since the 70s? You know, what names show up? You know, and not any names. I'm talking about names in politics, names in community work. I'm not talking, you know, I'm a little bit tired of us retreating to the entertainment crew to be our mouthpiece. You know, that's gotten old. You know, I'm talking about those who have skin in the game of politics. You know, those who don't get to talk politics but retreat back to their, you know, their brand, so to say. You know, but those who stand, you know, a complete picture of the importance of Black integrity and don't shortchange that, you know, for the sake of a dollar. You know, no. So, yeah, to me, that would be the challenge, you know. What names politically do we have to add to that list of the Shirleys and the Barbers and the Malcolms and the Martins? I'm not saying that to you. That's just, you know, that's just rhetoric.
Yeah, I was just thinking, even if some people resort back or find themselves pulling up names of the entertainers, you know, I guess my challenge, you know, would be just to dig. You know, you all, the listeners, you all have heard Dad and I talk a lot about what we call the two fingers in the air, four fingers, two on both sides for quotes, the rabbit hole. You know, I'm only saying that, Dad, because, you know, sometimes on social media, I get challenged and people questioning, like, you know, my experience or what accomplishments or what have I, basically, what have I done, you know, because all they see is social media. So all they see is, like, me posting and asking questions, but never doing anything, you know, but maybe I'm taking more of a personal approach about it. But I'm just saying, you know, as we research and we learn about things, just don't be afraid to dive deeper and to try to learn more about these people that you may research.
Well, you know, I just want to say, you know, one thing to you, man, you know, if you can, when at all possible, you know, don't take Facebook and things like that seriously. You know, it's not an attack on you. You know, it's not, you know, any personal affront. It's not about adding up likes and loves. You know,
right.
It's a platform that allows you to, you know, express your point of view. And if you feel a need to defend it, defend it. And if you don't, let it go. But, you know, don't take those comments so personal. Instead, enjoy entering into the, you know, the foray. Enjoy the opportunity for dialogue. It might even at times encourage you to dig a little bit deeper to defend your, you know, your point of view, your stance. You know, I mean, there are valid points to be made in the social media, since that seems to be, you know, places like Facebook seem to be, you know, the attention getter now. That seems to be the drive, you know. I know when I joined it, my whole idea was to stay in touch with family, and it gives me a chance to, you know, share some of my thoughts and feelings, you know, poetically or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I have long since learned something, and I have accepted it as my own philosophy. You know, that which I tend to dislike most about others is all too often the thing that I dislike most about myself. And I really have to pay attention to that. Otherwise, I get sucked away by, you know, public opinion. Man, you know, we do what we do with what we have to do it with. And you and I have had many shows where we've tried to measure whatever the degree of success is that is relatively satisfying to the general public. There's no way to define that externally. You know, that has to be determined internally, you know. And, you know, I personally am you know, proud of the fact that you use your brain. You know me. I can't stand, and I've noticed you say it a couple times, and, you know, and people throw it at me all the time, but I can't stand the idea of overthinking. You know, if there's overthinking, then there has to be underthinking, you know. And I think if, in fact, science is right that we only use about 20% of our brain, I think it's because we don't think enough. So, you know, we're just not used to the dialogue that comes from thinking. You know, we're used to, this is a very play it safe society we live in. You know, people would rather be comfortable with, you know, with the lights out, you know, than the lights coming on. Man, you know, encourage, you know, those attacks. And that means you must be touching some nerves out there, bro. Which I know you are, you know. So, but it's easy for me to say because I'm not you. You know, I'm not the one having to deal with those setbacks or disappointments. You take it personal. You know, and there's nothing wrong with taking it personal as long as it doesn't take you off stride, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, it doesn't take me off stride. I don't take it as personal as I used to. But, you know, the whole point is just to, you know, enjoy the knowledge that comes to you as you research this information. Adam mentioned a couple of people. But he's like, the problem is that we can't name people off the dome. We can't name people, you know, by memory. But, you know, if you research and then you have these discussions, then eventually the names will come to you. You know, I mean, I can't name a lot of people by memory. You know, I can't just throw out names like that. May throw out names, but, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he's got a little bit more time and more conversations with people, you know, and things like that. So don't put the pressure on yourself to think you got to come up with names and memorize them, but, you know, research.
Now, if I can I just read something right quick? It's from the book Dysfunctional by Design.
Yes,
it should only take about a minute or two to get through. And this is on page 12 through page 13, Dysfunctional by Design, written by your friend and mine, William Green. Those of us who were educated from the pre-1960s American history texts were taught many historic inaccuracies regarding the African brought in bondage to America. Enslaved Africans were not allowed to bring their regal history to America. Consequently, lack of documentation was translated as a lack of history. As the identity of the free African died, the myths of slavery materialized. Stories were passed on from one enslaved generation to the next, telling of the dehumanization of an entire race that was bred to do the burden of beasts. Thus became the legacy that helped to produce the present-day identity crisis of the black man. For more than 100 years after emancipation, schools failed to teach the true history of American Africans, or, you know, black Americans, if you will. The young black minds of my generation knew little, if anything, about the many Africans who, after serving their terms of indentureship, took land and raised families, free families. We were not taught about the laws created to prevent black and white marriages, particularly the marriages of white women to black men. We were not taught about the multitudes of black men who learned skilled trades such as blacksmithing, brick masonry, carpentry, shoemaking, and tailoring. Yes, we learned about Crispus Attucks, Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, Harriet Tubman, Marian Anderson, James Weldon Johnson, Jesse Owens, and Jackie Robinson. Maybe if we were fortunate to have a proud black teacher, which I did, Mrs. Stratton, we'd learn a little about Benjamin Banneker, your boy, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Dr. Charles Drew, Richard Wright, Langston Hughes, Dr. Ralph Bunch, and Thurgood Marshall, also Madam C.J. Walker, Ida B. Wells, and James Baldwin, just to add a few. But they were considered safe history, made readily available for those who bothered to look, like what you're talking about. Well, it's there. You know, it's this push-button society we live in, this information is readily made. Don't even have to go to the library anymore. Anyway, but what about the other ancestors of our rich American heritage? Black patriots such as James Armistead, a spy for the Continental Army who saved Lafayette's army from defeat, Peter Salem and Salem Poor, both of whom distinguished themselves in battle during the Revolutionary War, and Deborah Gannon, man, the only woman to bear arms in the Continental Army. But I tell you what, even searching these folks, better be prepared for what you get, like Deborah Gannett. You know, I think her full name was Deborah Gannett Sampson. But if you don't know what you're looking for, you're going to take what you see. And if you look at the pictures that I saw, that I Googled, you know, and recently, just to be sure I wasn't crazy for having written this back in 95, you know, the pictures all made her look white. But then you didn't say, you know, white or black. They just left it up to your interpretation as they told the story. So I finally said to myself, self, how about if you Google the question, was Deborah Gannett black? Okay. Then the answer came back, yeah, dude, in essence. And, you know, then I could rest comfortably. But the point is this. We can name the names. Those are the names we're looking for. And it's kind of hard if, like, I was born of the 60s, born in 47, but came to some degree of consciousness in the 60s. Will, you were born in what, 71 or 72?
71.
I never can remember it. You know, I know you fit it. You know, so it's like, the challenge is not to look at our history from the day we were born forward. The challenge is to look at our history from the day we were born backwards and forward. You know, and that's something that we as black folks tend not to do these days. You know, and this is too young of a culture and too young of a history not to be familiar with it. You know, I understand that the trend of movies and the easy forms of entertainment tend to take us off stride as a people. I get that. But it doesn't mean it's okay. You know, there should be, you know, names that, you know, you ran off Malcolm X's name and you ran off his Hi's name. What was that again? I mean, it just rolled out your mouth last Wednesday, and I meant to make a comment about it.
El Hajj Malik El Shabazz.
Yeah, man. And when you said that, it's like, damn, that's right. See, I forgot that. You know, I forgot, like, Stokely Carmichael's, was it Kwame?
Yeah, I think so.
But my point is, you know, so it's not like, it's like if it's not talked about, that if you don't know who you are, anyone can name you. And until lions have historians, hunters will always be heroes. So see, our key right now to date, our challenge, our issue confronting us is if we want to have a better report of ourselves, we got to start writing the scripts about ourselves, books, you know, movie scripts, you know, whatever the case may be, so that some degree of knowledge can be told in the way we want to tell it, not in the way others continue to tell it by the limited opportunities that are presented. That, you know, is the challenge of success, not the size of a person's bank account. But we've gotten away from that. We used to be a us generation. We used to be a we generation. Now we've become a me generation. I got mine, you get yours. That was what white America taught, white America. You know, me. You go to school to become this. You go to school to become that. You learn what you need to learn for you so that you can be a success. You know, we didn't have those opportunities. We were a we people. We had to share, you know, at the banquet table. Tithing to us meant everybody got an equal piece of whatever it was that was available, regardless of who brought the most and who brought the least. We're not about that now. You know, we have a different consciousness that is challenging us, you know, to look back into our immediate past and start drawing from the roots that, you know, like what you just brought up today, we should, you know, have memorized. You know, names like Stokely Carmichael, names like H. Rapp Brown, names like Medgar Evers. You know, these names should just, you know, roll off our lips with, you know, names like Shirley Chisholm, names like Barbara Jordan. You know, these names should just, be a living part of our testimony of history. Names like Vernon Johns, you know, not Vernon Johns, who the hell is that? You know, well, he was Dr. Martin Luther King's first mentor, really. You know, he was the man who did the first sit-in all by himself, one man sit-in, sitting at a doggone restaurant in Georgia. Dude came up and said, "We don't serve niggas here." He said, "That's all right, I don't eat them." I love that, you know. Anyway, you know, there's a dude, Taylor Branch, you know, and I think he's Jewish, but he wrote this big book, if I may, just real quick, the title of the book, Parting the Waters, you know, an incredible book written that really gives the history of Black America, written by a Jewish dude. You know, there's no way in the world that book shouldn't be a part of our library, you know, so the names will be as valuable as our memory will allow us. We can roll off names about, you know, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain and Connie Hawkins and Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby and Frank Robinson and Willie Mays and Ernie Banks, you know. So we don't have no problem with them names. Yeah. So anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I could ask names about some of the rappers and some of the hip-hops and just say, you know, I heard this song, like, Andale, mama, yeah. Shoot, before I'm done with that lyric, y'all be throwing them names out at me. So we memorize what's important to us, you know. And it's just a matter of reinstilling that importance. That's so beautiful job, man. Thank you again for bringing back to life, you know, two very important fixtures in Black history, in American history.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, women's history, American history. We didn't get a chance to mention the group of ladies you were going to mention tonight. So
we'll talk about them on Wednesday because it's still March. So, you know, we've turned March into, you know, Black Women's History Month. So we'll mention it Wednesday. You know, no problem. The 6888. Yeah, the 6888. The 6888 Central Postal Directory Battalion. Yeah, we'll talk about it Wednesday. It's AAA.
All right. We'd have a moment, or I realized Adam was still in the queue.
Well, you know, it's after hours. You know, how about if maybe he can hold it to Wednesday? That's what I'm thinking. You know.
Okay. All right, Adam, forgive us. You know, and we'll get you in Wednesday. All right. Anything else there for tonight?
No, man. You know, I'm ready to wrap it up and bail out of this bathroom. I'm sweating. I think it's all clear. Yeah. You know, save it for Wednesday. We're good. Hello? Hello?
All right. So Wednesday it is, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, Daddy, glad you made it out safe, and hopefully we'll have some better grounds for you Wednesday. So this is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, where we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experiences when we share interpretations and feelings. Again, my name is Will, and that's Bill over there. As always, please be safe, be blessed, and always be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Until Wednesday,
amen.
Have a good night. Amen, Dad. Love you. Take it easy.
Love you back, son. My man.
Right. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.